Next week, the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives Manitoba office launches its 9th annual State of the Inner City report. For this year's report, called A Youth Lens on Poverty in Winnipeg, teenagers from the north and west ends of Winnipeg were given digital cameras and were trained as photojournalists. Molly McCracken is the executive director of the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives Manitoba office, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Molly.
Thanks, Karen.
So this is an annual report, in part to counter the corporate focus of the mayor's State of the City address and other type addresses. And although it's an annual report, this year you took a different approach with it and you used photos to show the state of the inner city. Why did you decide to use this method to document what's happening in the inner city?
Yeah, the State of the Inner City report is guided by a large coalition of community-based organizations that work in the inner city, and they wanted a report focused on youth. And I knew if I were to work with youth, I wanted to do something that would be meaningful for the youth and where they would be the subjects and also the authors of the research so that they could tell their own stories. And I also wanted to make sure that you know, it was reciprocal, that what they gave to us, also we gave something to them. So, it was a really great way of getting in close and getting to know the young people and working with them over a period of time, not just like a one-time interview or one-time focus group.
And how did you find youth to participate in the project?
Well, we had two community partners, both whom have quite extensive community youth programs, the Spence Neighborhood Association and the Community Education Development Association, CEDA, Pathways to Education. So I worked with staff there, and they helped me get connected to the youth. It was outside of their regular program hours, so youth signed up to participate in this Photo Voice project.
That's great, and it's really exciting. I had a preview of the report, and just to see the variety of perspectives you get and really having a youth focus on it. In the report, it states that the inner city seen through the eyes of youth is a place of both good and bad things, and I wanted to start with the good things. What were some of the positive things that were documented in the report?
Yeah, the most surprising thing that I didn't anticipate was the natural beauty that they documented, a flock of birds or flowers, streetscapes. They really liked pretty nice things and talked about nature in the city, and it just struck a chord with me about how important that is for young people.
And they seem to also really like recreation, and in particular basketball, which may have been a factor of who was participating in.
Yeah, the youth at Spence Neighborhood Association are big into basketball. They play basketball there every day, I think some of them 7 days a week. And so lots of pictures of kids dunking basketballs, but also just there's several of just the hoop against a blue sky. And one youth put it very eloquently, is potential in a sport, and he hopes to get picked up for a basketball scholarship someday. So in a lot of ways, it's fun, it's a camaraderie, but it's also an investment in their future because they want to go to university with a basketball scholarship.
In terms of some of the problems or challenges with the inner city, what were some of the things that were shown in the photographs that were more negative?
Housing came up very often with the youth. There is several boarded up houses in the north end right close to CEDA. And so a couple of the youth took pictures of these boarded up houses and just saying, why is this house boarded up? It could be used. We know there's a need. And there's another quite compelling photo of a vacant lot in Spence. And the girl says, I remember the man who lived there, but then the house burned down. And now there's just mud and leaves. And can't we use this lot for housing? Because there's a lot more people in Winnipeg now, but they're not putting houses up. And you just see it from that perspective. It's so plainly obvious. We need more housing. And these kids are restating that need from their own perspective. There was another young man who took a photo of his house, and some bricks had kind of caved in, and there's a hole there. And it's artfully done. It's the composition is really nice. And he just talks about how his house is actually literally falling down. And, you know, they complain to the landlord and it's being fixed. But it is a worry for him that his house is old.
Was it challenging to choose photos for the report? Did you have more than you were able to use?
You know, like, there was a lot of interesting things about doing this because I've never done a photo voice. I read about it a lot. And with digital cameras, we thought, oh, they're going to take scads of photos. And we even said, you know, please don't take any more than 50, because with digital, you know, you can take upward limits of whatever your memory card will. They didn't take that many. And most of the photos were taken during class time. Like, we'd have some instructional time. We met with them for 7 weeks. In a row from October till mid-November for 2 hours at a time. And so a little bit of the time would just be walking around free, you know, come back in 25 minutes and let's look at what photos you've taken. So, yeah, maybe some of them just took 5 and some of them took about 20, and then we asked them to narrow them down. So, yeah, it was a little hard. There's one really cute photo of a cat that didn't meet the 5 maximum per kid, but we will still have that cat up because it's a really great little picture.
Yeah, you always want a cat photo.
Yeah.
And so in terms of the youth then involved in selecting the photos, did they learn from each other in terms of how to, you know, set up photos, what subjects to take, just sort of photojournalism, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we had Colin Vandenberg, who is a wonderful local photographer, come in and do an instructional session, and then we revisited his tips, and I learned so much about photography from him. And then in small groups, we looked at the youth looked at each other's photos. So yeah, in some ways they learned a little bit by looking at each other's photos. But I think they each have their own style. Each collection of photos is very true to the young person who took the photos.
In terms of the next steps, I wanted to talk about what your expectations are as an organization from governments. And I wanted to start with the province. So based on what you learned, what would you like the province of Manitoba to do to improve the inner city?
Well, I think the province has done quite a lot in terms of their investment in community-based organizations and things like eliminating the clawback for the national child benefit. However, raising EIA rates is a number one thing that the province should do and needs to do, along with improving the situation for housing. They do have the commitment for 500 units a year, but we're not sure where that commitment's going to go in the future. And it's a crisis, and we really just need more housing. And also longer-term funding. There's a lot of project-based funding, and the province does have certain initiatives. Like, there are a collection of nonprofits that are part of a red tape initiative to reduce the reporting requirements and stuff like that, but just even more of that to invest long-term.
And from reading the report, safety seemed to be a big issue for youth who participated in the project. Is there anything that you'd like to see either the province or the city of Winnipeg do to address safety concerns of youth?
Yeah, safety was remarkably strong in their photos. And we also held a sharing circle where both groups met each other and saw each other's photos. And it really broke down the stereotype for me again and again that we think of, oh, the inner city is rife with these youth gangs. Well, perhaps there are some, but the youth that we met with were very concerned for their own personal safety and know how to keep themselves safe as much as they can. So I think more after-school programs and supports for kids so that they have positive places to go is really important, and things that are open on the weekends, you know, in the evenings at times that matter for youth, things that the province and the city both already support but need to do in a long-term sustained way. Because these problems aren't going away, they're there, so we need to invest in them in order to get upstream from the downstream costs of increased, you know, if kids fall into bad circles of friends where they might be criminalized and things like that, that just costs the public way more down the road.
And I know for this neighborhood around the station, the loss of Sherbrooke Pool has had a big impact for youth in the community. It's one less recreational facility that they can go to.
Yeah, there is a photo of the Sherbrooke Pool in the collection. And I should mention that each photo has a narrative accompanying it. So the youth just says, you know, why is this pool shut down? Fix it and open it up. Like, just give us a place to swim already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's so simple when and I don't want to say it's simplistic, but it's so straightforward when seen from fresh eyes of a teenager.
One thing that struck me of some of the photos was the garbage and the, you know, the boarded up houses as well, but just sort of the piles of old furniture or bins that weren't being picked up, which seems like that's a municipal issue that the city should be doing more to keep neighborhoods clean and then make them more safe. Is there anything else you'd like to see the city of Winnipeg do?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I've been working in the inner city on and off for quite a while, and in some ways, you know, I've been involved in spring cleanups, but you kind of get used to things being a little bit scruffy or that it's garbage around. But the youth really didn't like the garbage. They wanted things to be tidied up. And there's one story where I was with two youth walking down the sidewalk, and we came across on the boulevard this burnt couch. It was a burnt couch, love seat, and a stool that were just black, but the frame was still there right in front of this nice looking house. So they, you know, said, oh, well, we'll have to take a picture of this. And just as they were taking the picture, the woman came out of her house and she said, oh, what are you doing? And we said, I spoke and I said, well, these youth are learning to take photos for a research project. And she said, oh, good. People need to know what's happening here in the North End. There's so much garbage and this fire is unacceptable and you should go look in the back lane. So we did. And there was, you know, the bins aren't working in certain neighborhoods, so the people have too much garbage for those new rolling bins. So there was just, yeah. So it's that kind of broken window theory where if things are tidy, then people keep them tidy. But when things start kind of looking more and more disheveled, then people just add to that is the kind of community development theory. So I do think special attention needs to be placed on that from the city. There's a lot of wonderful neighborhood initiatives where residents do garbage sweeps and cleans, and those are also important for people to invest in because it's a partnership with the community and the city.
So you have the launch of the report coming up this Wednesday, and youth are encouraged to attend that. What can people expect at the event?
Yes, it is going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Graffiti Gallery, and it's there because it's a youth art center and an art gallery, and they actually have a wonderful exhibit up of their 15th year anniversary that just took place. And we're going to have an opening prayer by Elder Anne Callahan and a song by an Indigenous women's drum group, and then one of the youth is going to speak, and I'm going to give a short presentation, and Josh is going to MC, and then we have a DJ and pizza from Nietzsche Common. So it's a real celebration of the youth's accomplishment, and also, you know, a celebration of all the wonderful things happening in the inner city as well.
Well, that sounds great, and thanks for coming in today.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Molly McCracken of the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives Manitoba office. And again, the launch of the State of the Inner City report is this Wednesday, December 11th, and it starts at 4:30 p.m. at the Graffiti Gallery at 109 Higgins Avenue. And it is a youth-friendly event, and youth are encouraged to attend, and there's more information at policyalternatives.ca. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.